Hey, friend. Welcome to Houston Made, a show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. In this episode, I got to jump on a call with my friend, Wen-Ting Xie, the owner and founder of Refinement House, Houston's first and only zero-waste eco-home that provides eco-conscious everyday alternatives to home essential products. We actually recorded this episode a few months ago, so you'll hear throughout the conversation as Wen-Ting talks about opening up a new shop. And I'm excited to say that that shop is now open. I had a chance to visit for the grand opening, and it's a really cool space. Not only can you shop and learn, but you can actually use the products and try them out in kind of a home setting before you buy them to see if there's something that you would like. Wen-Ting is an incredibly thoughtful leader and is often shaping the conversations around sustainability and intentional living here in Houston. Furthermore, she's one of those few business owners who just seems really good at every aspect of business. So if you're in Houston and want to pick up some great home products that are good for the environment, be sure to find your way to visit the new eco home, Refinement House in Montrose. In the meantime, listen in as Wen-Ting and I discuss her journey towards eco-conscious living, leaving an advertising job in New York City to backpack across Southeast Asia, and the insights she learned after moving back to Houston and getting a job at Lululemon. It's Wen-Ting Xie?
Xie.
I was close.
You're very close. Yeah. So it's the same character as like when you say thank you in Chinese. Xie. It's the same pronunciation. When I tell people that, I don't know, sometimes it clicks.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I am excited to get a chance to talk to you a little bit about Refinement House, your journey there, and maybe some of the other things that you have done in your life. As we jump into this, tell me a little bit about Refinement House. For people who maybe have never heard of you, what's the elevator pitch?
Yeah, so elevator pitch is Refinement House. We are Houston's first and only eco shop. It's really surrounded by the idea of we provide everyday alternatives to things you would normally buy around the house, but it's with a sustainability twist. So I'll give you an example of liquid detergent, plastic, things that you would clean your kitchen with, water bottles, straws, cutleries. And I like to call it home essentials, right? So the idea is it's things that are actual essentials, but you can be eco-friendly if you choose to do so. And a big thing about Refinement House, yes, there's an eco part to it, but really the idea behind it is the idea of slow living, right? So when you slow down and really pay attention to the things that you bring into your life, that you bring into your home, does it have a purpose? And if it does, you know, is it good also for the larger good? Is it greater? Is it good for the planet? Is it good for your household? Is it non-toxic? So it's a blend between, I think, showing people that there are actual alternatives to things you would normally buy, and also just teaches you to be more mindful of how you spend money as a consumer. Because I think we live in a world right now where you're constantly inundated on things you need to buy. They make you feel like you need this. And not only that, I think advertisement, marketing, whatnot tells you you need a certain brand. You need to live a certain type of lifestyle, where I think if you take a step back at the very basic level, you need just your essentials. And with the essentials, you know, how can you, again, vote with your dollar and, you know, go with a brand that provides an eco alternatives to things you would normally have.
That's amazing.
That's a long elevator.
That's great. We were going up about 12 stories. It was fine. I think that's a beautiful way to put it. I have admired what y'all have done for so long, and admittedly am really an infant when it comes to this kind of eco conscious living. I've often been likened to Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec of just YOLO, and we're just going to buy it and we're going to have fun and party. And that's pretty true, I think. I think I've bought in, my personality lends itself towards buying into a lot of that hype of like, yeah, I do need that. My life actually would be a lot better if I just had that thing. I think the turning point for me to even just become kind of, I don't know, I think mindful of how my decisions, my spending, and our uses were impacting the planet was when we had kids and we started sending our kids to school. This is, it feels like a really weird thing. We started sending our kids to school and my wife leaves the house at 6:30 a.m. So I'm awake and with the boys in the morning packing their lunches. Yeah. And I was packing their lunches every day. And this really started when we had just the first kid.
Yeah.
And I was putting everything in little snack bags and Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
And we were going through boxes, big boxes of Ziploc bags for 25 goldfish for two Oreos.
Yep.
And I just remember the feeling of pulling those things out and being like, oh, wait a second. Like, okay, so I'm pulling it out. I put it in here and then he eats it and then it just goes in the trash can. And then it's going to go live in the ground somewhere, on the ground somewhere for 1,000 years.
Yep.
A millennia.
Yeah.
And that was crazy to me. And just thinking if this is just me, and that's one example of probably thousands in our life, and what that was looking like. And so that was when I first started saying, oh man, maybe we need to find some better ways. Like maybe we need to not, this is it. I'm killing the earth. I've realized this is it. Where did that begin for you in Refinement House? Where did that come from? Did you always care about the world or like did Captain Planet do it for you?
Yeah, good question. So, this came about is when back in 2016, I was living in New York at that time, had this, you know, really nice, fancy advertising job in media, been in corporate America for about 5-6 years now. And I was living that life. I was living that life of, you know, young, single, in my 20s in New York City, living it up, you know, spent my extra commission checks on fancy things and whatnot. And I literally hit a point in my career where I just wasn't happy. And I knew it. I knew it like deep down. I was like doing yoga. I was doing, I was trying to meditate. I was trying to do all these things that they tell you need to do, right, to be more happy. And I just wasn't. So I went through, I think I almost went through like a mild depression for a winter where I didn't really go out and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? I really need to remove myself. So I actually uprooted everything, sold everything in my apartment, told my boss, was like, you know, I always thought this is what I wanted. Like growing up, going to school, going to business school, I wanted to be this businesswoman, go to New York City and live that dream. And I wasn't happy. And so I was like, you know, when I left my job, I literally told my boss, was like, I either need to leave it completely to realize what I had and come back to appreciate it more, or I'm leaving it to realize I really never needed all these things to begin with, right? So sold everything, ended up backpacking in Southeast Asia. I was there for 6 months by myself and it like completely changed my perspective from what I really needed. Like what were my essentials? Because in that 32 liter backpack literally was I picked up, I knew I had to carry on my back. So it was I had to be very, very mindful about what I brought into my life, especially on the road. And I think that was when everything got amplified of when I was in another country, single use was so prevalent. Like everything was like to-go bags, single use straws. And I went to the beach one day. And this was my second time going back to Thailand. My first time was back in 2012. And I was like, wow, the beach is so beautiful. It's amazing. I went snorkeling. And then 2016, I went back and it was just littered, absolutely littered. And I remember on one of the beaches, I literally had to tiptoe on the sand because there was glass and trash and straws. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so when I came back to Houston, it didn't just come to me overnight of like, I want to have an eco brand. It was more of like, I want to know what I can do now that I'm back in the States on how I can continue that lifestyle, even though I'm here. And I started to decorate my home with only secondhand furniture. So I've always loved vintage. I've always loved thrifting. So only decorated my home with secondhand furniture. And I was like, okay, this is really cool. And even when friends would come over, they'd be like, this place has so much life, has so much soul. And I was really proud of it. I was like, yeah, actually everything here is secondhand. I didn't buy anything new. And then at that time, I actually had an Etsy vintage shop. And then I had an extra bedroom where I was storing all my vintage stuff. And then my partner at the time literally came into the room, was like, you have enough things, you need to stage it. You need to stage it, have an estate sale and have people come. And so the first product line within Refinement House was a bamboo toothbrush and a stainless steel straw set. And that was it. I got really good feedback from my family and friends. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And these are things that I would normally have in my household, right? So it wasn't so much of, you know, I want to make a brand out of this. It was really like, I've gotten good feedback from people around me. I want to share with them on little swaps that they can use. And then slowly from there, we started getting a lot more brand partnerships. I've started to work with people that make their own products in Houston and around the nation. So it goes beyond my talent of making soaps and conditioner bars and facial oil and all that stuff. And then, yeah, now we have a retail shop, retail location at Tenfold Coffee. And then now I'm opening up an eco home in just a few more weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. I bet by the time that this goes up, it'll be open. Well,
hopefully. Probably,
so we're going to say congratulations on your new shop. Okay. So you leave corporate, the corporate world, you go travel the world and realize both the harm that we all are just doing to this planet that we live on, and also probably challenge the status quo of saying, you know, what do you actually need to live? What is life? And that's I think why most people advocate for travel, is it's just, it presents an opportunity for you to see that there is life beyond your values, life beyond your perspective, and finding a new way to do that. You were doing the vintage thing and had an Etsy shop, and that was kind of proto Refinement House. Was that like under the label of Refinement House, or was it?
It was still under Refinement House. It was still under Refinement House. At that point, it didn't really pivot towards more of a eco brand. It was more, again, I think the name of Refinement House was just things that I would normally have in my house. And I wanted to show people that you can have a very cozy, eccentric home without spending the big bucks of buying really nice furniture, and it has to look a certain way. And so I really wanted to bring a lot of color and character and things that I've, you know, kept during my travel souvenirs, and just kind of show that out on like in a refined way, you can still live a really fulfilling life.
It sounds like, I mean, so you went to school, you got a business marketing degree, something around there.
I actually started off in accounting and finance.
That's amazing. That's as an entrepreneur, that's one of the things that I envy the most. Like, that skill set is so valuable. So you do that, but then you get a marketing job in New York.
So here's the funny thing is, like, I would have people comment on like, your LinkedIn profile looks all over the place. and I was like, that totally, you know, sounds about right. Like, I started off in finance and accounting, but I knew in my gut though, that wasn't my career path. Like, I graduated actually in 2010, and then, 2008, 2009 was a financial market crash. And I was like, you know what? I almost pretty much like took a job that I think was going to set me up well. In what I thought was stable, right? Stability and comfort. So did finance and accounting for 2 years. And in my gut, I just knew like, this is not what makes me happy. I mean, am I grateful for all the Excel skills I've learned? Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And like I said, like, as a business owner, I am so grateful that I understand kind of that foundational level for finance, but it wasn't what made me happy. And I kind of took a chance after finance and accounting is I had a friend that introduced me to a coworker at NBC Universal, and it was a completely different job. It was media and advertising, but they took a chance on me, and I was like, okay, let's try it out. And so I'm about to run out of battery.
That's fine. We can do that.
I'll keep talking though. So I would say I will contribute Refinement House and the retail aspect actually to a job that I took in Houston at Lululemon. very, oh, hey.
Yeah, this is a Lululemon shirt. This is five-year tee right here.
I love it. And I will say it's the funniest thing because I got a lot of heat actually from my family and some friends when I moved back from New York, right, from traveling and whatnot, and did this big corporate job. And people are like, you're fitting people in clothes at Lululemon. Like, what happened? And it's I think it's funny talking about it now because back then I didn't think too much of it. I knew that when I moved back to Houston, I wasn't ready to go back to corporate again. I wanted to stay true to kind of my values of I want to live a more fulfilling life. And whatever company that I go to work for, I wanted to align with my values and my interests. And so I was new to Houston, really, because I haven't lived back in Houston since I graduated high school. So haven't been back to Houston in like 10 years. Really want to rebuild that community again. And at that time, I was very, very into yoga. So I was like, you know what? Lululemon, why not? Like, it's a good opportunity. And funny enough, they actually asked me, they're like, I know you don't have any retail experience, but we're opening up a new bungalow in the Heights. Would you want to be one of the first people to help us open it? And I was like, okay, why not? You know? And that I will say taught me probably more than any other job. Like I did that for 6 months, but you know, I will have to commend that company and that brand for what they stand for, because everybody at Lululemon, regardless if you're on the floor as an educator, is what they call people on the floor, they educate, or you're a key leader to a store manager or whatnot. Like everybody goes through this type of leadership training that I really commend them for the company and the culture that they have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really cool. I personally love Lululemon, as evidenced by the fact that I'm wearing a Lululemon shirt right now. And for Christmas, my in-laws asked me for, well, what clothes do you want? And I was like, nothing but Lululemon shirts. That's all I want. They're a little pricey, but they're worth it. Again, I believe I've learned to pay for things that will last. I would much rather pay the extra money for this that'll last for a long time and fits really well versus a Target shirt for $6 that it's going to fall apart the moment I wash it.
And they have really good return policy. Like they're pretty much, it's almost a lifetime guarantee really on the
product. That's amazing. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Well, I love it. What's interesting to me about the Lululemon move is obviously it's a company that has strong values. So that's already going to align with your personal convictions and kind of who you are. And especially in the season where you were already looking for a more value driven life.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know how much I'm trying to like think of how I want to confess this. What? I feel like I kind of like look around at the Houston landscape to see like, who are the people to know? And that's, I don't know, again, that might be more saying more about me than I probably want to confess, but, like you're pretty well connected, right? Like the people that we have mutual connections with, I go, oh, wow. Okay. And what's interesting is opening that bungalow shop in the Heights. Like I know exactly where that is. Like that's, even if that was a few years ago, that place was just starting to pop to become what it is today, which is now like right off of Yale, and it's the kickin' place to be. So it's interesting to me because you moved there and it feels like that would have been a really good foothold to get a feel for Houston and maybe make some of those relationships. I know you mentioned learning a lot about just from Lululemon, but how much of that location impacted where you are now, what you're doing?
Yeah, I would say helped me understand part of the demographics, and also again, really just understand the more retail and customer service aspect of a business, right? So I'll give you some, you know, this one thing always stuck with me, and it still does till today when I train my team members, is when you go into a Lululemon, you're not a sales associate. And I love it because they teach you that everybody on the floor is an educator first and foremost. What that means is you're really trying to build that genuine connection with every guest that comes in. And that really, you know, struck a chord with me because it's that feeling of how do you welcome people into your home? And everyone's an educator so that I don't know, you know, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but if you walk into Lululemon, the first thing they ask you is, what's your favorite way to sweat? Right. The way to build connection of, let me understand your lifestyle and meet you at where you're at versus trying to push you a product. And it's very much their fallback is, you're not there to sell, you're there to educate. Right. And so me, one, being new to Houston, to the Houston community, really trying to, again, meet people and trying to get a better idea of where I want to go. I think having those types of connections with people coming in helped me see from a different lens of customer service and in general, like what the demographics is and what people want, what people are interested in. I think that was a little bit more obviously to the fitness community, but at the same time, you get these, you know, usual guests that come in and out, and then you become friends with them. And I think that was huge for me, is just seeing the community grow. Because like you said, like when we opened up Lululemon, that was 2017. And that was actually, we were like, I think the third or fourth tenant that actually went up in the Heights Mercantile. So really see that area grow to where it is now. And then also like Refinement House, we're at their Heights Farmers Market every other Sunday. It's similar type of clientele. And then really see how much that has grown. And I think what's really unique about the Houston community is there is that collaboration and there is that willingness to partner, to reach out, to you know, cross promote, versus when I was back in New York, I felt there was this like intense competitiveness from everyone around you. And it wasn't from, you know, it didn't come from a abundance mindset where, you know, like Rusty, have you reached out to me, which is so awesome to even have this conversation, and other, you know, business partners like Tenfold Coffee. I literally went there on a Sunday to grab a cup of coffee and I saw their beautiful, huge, like centerpiece table and literally was like, guys, what are you doing with the centerpiece? Can I help you make it? Like, can I merch it up for you a little bit? Can I just put a few eco-friendly stuff here, see how that does? And that was back in October and we've been there ever since. And I generally feel that acceptance and collaboration. And I really haven't felt that in any other city.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I always want to try to speculate on those things. And obviously with New York, you know, everything's so limited, space is limited. So there's this like, and then cost of living is so high. So opportunity means a lot. And Houston being the diverse city that it is, I think obviously socioeconomically, there's a lot of that. But also just the fact that we don't have zoning laws. I mean, again, from the real estate perspective, that's kind of one of the things I think about is, I grew up in Dallas.
Okay.
And I like was raised to hate Houston. It was just ingrained in me as a part of the indoctrination.
I hear that all the time.
Dallas is a really, and I can say this as like a Dallas, like card carrying Dallas former resident. Dallas is just a really pretentious city. It's really.
You said it. Yeah. I was going to go there. I was going to allude to that, but you said it.
Fine. Yeah, I can say it. Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a beautiful city. And I tell you, every time I go back, I get, I am wooed by the beauty of Dallas because it is, it's clean, it's organized. The roads are straight. Everything's I'm sure they pay a lot of money in taxes for all that stuff. I'm grateful to not have to do that as an adult. And Houston's kind of messy. Like I remember I feel really good about directions. Like I can kind of navigate without a map. And Houston took a long time to learn because it felt like, well, this road is a circle. This road zigzags. This one kind of curves on itself. And I think there's some of that is that creates diversity of businesses, group diversity of neighborhoods. Of course there's segregation and there are other problems as mm-hmm. with every major city. And yet I think Houston is just a little bit better in some ways because of that. There's some benefits of that. And then we have a ton of space. So I think that's a part of it, right? It's like, there's plenty of space for everybody.
Yeah.
I moved to Houston from Denver and I loved Denver. Because nobody in Denver was from Denver. So everyone was a transplant, mostly. And all the natives were so mad about it. But it was like, we're all here. We're all just kind of making it up. And so who are you? This is who I am. And there was this very c'est la vie attitude towards everything. Houston was really interesting because it has a very similar vibe in the sense of like, yeah, no, it's, who are you? Like, yeah, like it's very welcoming. You can really be whoever you want to be. And I think that that's kind of unique, especially for the South and for Texas, is it's like, well, maybe we're not going to get along, but there's a place for you here. And that's what I think it is. There's just space. Yeah. So it's like, you'll find a tribe somewhere.
You'll find your little community.
So I love that. And so, yeah, I grew up hating Houston and it took some time to fall in love. And it was, I have often thought about making a video that is kind of my love letter to Houston that, that accounts that journey because, you know, I moved here and was like, I hate this. My wife was from here and she wanted to be near family. And I was like, I don't know about all this. 18 months in, I probably was like, well, we went through Harvey. We won the World Series legitimately. And and I kind of went through some things together as a city and people were like, yeah, no, you're one of us. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I feel good about that.
No, I totally agree with that. Cause, when I grew up in Sugarland, so growing up in Sugarland was after high school, I was literally like, get me out of here. Get me out of Houston, went to school in Austin. And then after graduation, I was like, I will want to be anywhere except in Texas. Just want to be out there. And it was actually really hard for me coming back to Houston after having traveled, after living in other cities. And the funny thing was, this was not meant to be as permanent as it is now, because I actually came back only because my I had a few things shipped from New York to Houston. So it was a stopping ground. My family's here. I was like, you know what? I'm hanging out with dad for a few months. It'll be cool. I was actually looking into Denver for my next job opportunity. It was Denver, California. Those are the two that are on the top of my list. And somehow it's been 4 years. It's been 4 years and I am still here. And I think that's all, you know, all the things we just talked about is, one, I don't think I ever gave Houston a fair shot. Like I never really I never lived as Houston proper. So I feel like, you know, a few years ago, I'm like, this is what it's like to be an inner loop. I didn't even know there was like an inner loop and an outer loop. So it feels a lot, so much more different when you're actually here in City Center and you realize it's so diverse as a city that there are pockets for any type of crowd. I live in Montrose now and I love it. I absolutely love Montrose, which is another reason why I wanted to have the eco home in Montrose. Because, you know, as much as I obviously love the Heights crowd, I think the Montrose crowd it's quirky. It's really quirky. And a big part for Refinement House is it's like this unattainable way to live sustainably. That's a huge, huge thing for me. Because, you know, I know there's a stigma for people that shop at Whole Foods of like, it's organic, it's marked up, it's whatnot. For me, I've made it a point that I want to make sure that the price point for things that we sell can be very comparable to things you would normally buy at a grocery store. Because I've been to, you know, I did my market research. I traveled to Denver and New York and I've seen a lot of the other, you know, zero waste shops, package free shops. And for me, again, it felt like this unattainable thing for everybody, right? For the middle class, for the working class. And I wanted to make a point that we're making sustainability available to all. And so that's been a big point for me. And I think living in Houston is really great because I get to see the diverse spectrum of, you know, from the working moms to the people that are able to afford luxury name brand items. And I want to meet them where they are. And so almost 90% of the stuff that we sell is under $15. So that's a big thing for me. And I think when I chose to have this eco home, I wanted to also have, you know, be in a more central location where I felt like everyone can have access to it. Hopefully that's how people feel. So we'll see.
I think that's totally true. And I'll say that One of my favorite Christmas gifts that I got from my wife was a new oral care kit from you guys. And I was thrilled because I'd run out of tooth tabs and had to go back to using like awful toothpaste. And I hate it. So I'm so glad. And my teeth have never been healthier. So thank you. A huge thank you to Wenting and to you for listening to this episode of Houston Made. This is actually just the first half of the conversation I got to have with Wenting. So if you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more, be sure to tune into the next one where we continue our conversation and discuss learning to scale our business by bringing on additional team members, the community-focused values that shape Refinement House, and how she handles feedback regarding what she's building. In the meantime, be sure to make some time to stop by Refinement House at their now open Eco Home in Montrose. For location and hours, along with information about eco-conscious home goods, you can now visit their website at refinementhouse.com or find them on Instagram at Refinement House. Before I wrap up, I just want to thank all of you who've been so encouraging and supportive of the show. It's been a long journey getting Houston Made out into the world, so I'm just overjoyed at the community forming around it. To join the community and conversations around these topics, be sure to find me on Instagram at Rusty J. Gates and the show at Houston Made Podcast. As with all kinds of small businesses, every bit of support goes a long way. So take a moment to rate, review, and share Houston Made with that one person you know who might be interested. Houston Made is hosted by me, Rusty Gates, produced and edited in collaboration with Luke Bronner. Our artwork was designed by Stephanie Leal and Sarah Alwegfi in collaboration with Mac Ryan Creative. Credit for our theme music goes to Old Friends, New Friends. Houston Made is glad to be a part of the Milieu Media neighborhood of podcasts and storytellers. We are people who care deeply about human connection, and in our neighborhood, we find that connection by hearing and appreciating one another's stories and by sharing our own. To find more shows made by amazing storytellers from all kinds of backgrounds, visit MilieuMedia.com.